plain as it can be. We are surrounded by sin on every side. And we're not wanted here. We as Christians, we're not wanted here. Now, when you start talking about religion and things like that, you know, they don't pay that much attention. But when you start talking about Jesus and saying you're a Christian, it changes the whole thing, and we're not wanted. And Jesus said the servant is not greater than his Lord. And the Bible says in the book of John that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And you look at that in two ways. We can look at it as being the nation of Israel, because that was God's chosen people. He came to the nation of Israel. They didn't want him. He came to his own creation. He created man. And man didn't want him. They didn't want what he brought to them. And so we're surrounded by sin in our life every day. And it is so important. I've said this time and time and time again. God's word is true. It's going to be standing when we are gone. It's not going to fail in what it's set out to do. It's going to stand the test of time. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. It's going to stand the test of time. But I'm talking to us as Christians, just like I said about mom and daddy. How important it was with mom and daddy to keep reminding you of certain things that were so important to you. And they knew how important it was going to be as you got older in life and how badly that you was going to need it. And there's not anything in this scripture that we can just read over and bypass and go on. Every scripture is in there for a reason. And do you know how easy it is to say I quit? Christians, I'm telling you, Jesus said the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's not just scripture talking. That is telling you the intentions of the devil. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal the joy of your salvation. What did David say in Psalms 51? He said, restore unto me not my salvation, but my joy. I've lost my joy. I don't want to go on anymore. I want to throw my hands up and I want to quit. The joy is not there. But every step that we take in this old world is not going to be a joyous thing. It's going to be a struggle and a fight. Let me tell you something. If Brother Donald could stay here and tell you tonight, brother, he'd tell you, go on with the trip. Go on with the trip. Because he stepped from this old life into another world. See, this world that we in right now is not where we belong. That's because we're not wanted. We're not wanted here because we don't belong here, people. We don't belong here. The Bible said we're strangers and pilgrims passing through this old land. We're just going through. I'm not hanging around. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. We've got a place that's waiting for us beyond and on the other side. Jesus blessed his holy name for what he did for us. He said this. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might have it. He didn't say you could have it. He said, you're going to have it. Count on it. Write it down, Summers. It's coming to you. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He is the victor. He's already won the victory. We have the victory through him, and we're just passing through this old land. But I want us to look at this right here again. He said, my brethren, he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trials, troubles, tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, I'm concerned and it's heavy on my heart about what Satan can try to do to God's people to make them want to give up. Make them want to give up. I'm not going to church anymore. I quit. I'm not serving the Lord anymore. I quit. And that's what Satan wants you to do. Now, listen. David prayed. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, he hadn't lost his salvation. Satan can't take your salvation. But let me tell you what he can do. He can destroy your witness. He can destroy your witness. The worst thing you can do as a Christian is to lay down and call it quits. I don't care how hard the struggle is, how hard the fight is, we have to get up and keep on going. And let me tell you something, we've got somebody that's going to clean us up when we get up. I'm thankful for that. See, I used to think when I was a young man, I had to keep myself clean, and truly, we are to set our eyes on the Lord and to keep ourselves from the devil and unspotted from this world. But I was born unto sin. I was born unto sin. The psalmist David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was conceived in sin. I was born a sinner, and I will die a sinner. Brother Don left that old fleshly man behind when he stepped on the other side. This thing's not going to follow us home, people. It's not going to follow us home. It's going to be a time we're going to cast this thing off. But I'm concerned with the time while we're here in this old world. That's what we do and how that we react to the devil and this old flesh and what goes on with us. Let's go to the book of Romans in chapter 5 once again. Chapter 5, begin with verse 1, it said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith, not of works. Nothing we can do in a way of works is going to justify us. We are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. And through Christ Jesus, we have peace with God our Father, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, Brother Mike, 2 weeks ago, he was preaching, he was talking about hope. And he was talking about not a hope-so salvation, but a sure and a steadfast hope. And I got that old 1962 dictionary of mine down. And I looked up that word hope, and this is what it said. It said the desire of good, not evil, but it said the desire of good made me think of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. He said what? He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Didn't say part of the days, but it said goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Why is it going to follow me? Because I'm in God's hands. I'm in my Savior's hands, and these things are going to follow me wherever I go. And what he's saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going home one of these days. The Lord's got a home prepared for me, and I'm going to dwell at home with my Lord forever. That's enough to keep us going on. That's enough to keep us going on, but we rejoice in that hope. It said anticipation. Confidence, the object desire to expect with confidence. That's something else dealing with faith right there. Brother Mike, when you talk about that, not a hope-so salvation, but a steadfast hope. We stand steadfast in our faith toward the Lord, knowing that He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee, but I'll go with you all the way even to the end of the world. We stumble and fall flat of our face. We leave the Lord, but He never leaves us. Never leaves us. Brother Steve was praying a while ago. Said, thank you, Lord, for loving us first. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Who could stand up and say in here, I was worthy to be loved by the Lord, not no one of us. Oh, but look at us around here, those who are saved by the grace of God, thanking Him for what He done for us on an old rugged cross, knowing that we have a sure and steadfast hope in the Lord. The Bible says of the glory of God, and He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, we're talking about patience again, and that's a lot of times can be a bad word. Because like I said, so many times when we want something done, we want it done right then. We want it done right then, but it's not in our hands. There is one thing that I have learned in my life and am still learning because I'm hard-headed. I'm not going to listen. I've told you this time and time again. I cannot stand here and tell you about you. I'm not in your skin. I don't live where you live. I don't know what you're thinking. And I don't know what you're going through. But I can tell you about Lee because I stay with him all the time. And I don't like the thing that I stay with. When I pray, the biggest thing I pray about is, Lord, forgive me for my sins. And that's the first thing. Because he said if we regarded sin in our heart, he wouldn't hear us pray. So we need to keep the sin out. We need to keep the sin out, people. We live in a day and time when people don't blush anymore. They don't think anything about sin because it's everywhere you look. Back when I was a little boy coming up with my mama and daddy and stuff, you wouldn't say some of the things that's said nowadays. You wouldn't go in the church house and see some of the things you see in the church houses today. We're living in a troublesome time. Trouble's on every corner. The Bible says we glory in tribulations and trials, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, the Bible said in the book of James, said, let patience have her perfect work, or complete. Let her have her perfect work. So that would tell me that God is trying to do a perfect work by me waiting on the Lord. An old saying says, well, you know, I got more time than I have money. You can throw the money part out and say, well, when I'm waiting on the Lord and I'm praying, I've got time because I'm in His hands. When things come upon us, and they're going to come on us. They're going to come on us. You may not be looking for it. And it could be anything. It could be sickness. It could be poverty. It could just be a flat out sin. We don't know from one day to the next what's going to be on us. We better be careful and stuff how we look at things on ourselves. And on others as well. But the Bible says that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Experience is like going to a new job. You get on that job and they start showing you what they want you to do, and it's going to take you a little while to catch on if you're like I am. Because I'm not the fastest learner in the world. I try. I get an A for trying, but sometimes I don't see things like some people do. I get them sort of turned around. But the more you do a job, the more experience you get, and the easier you start feeling with at ease with what you're doing. Now, when we're waiting on the Lord in times of trouble and tribulation, because see, I had a hard lesson to learn with my mom and daddy. When my mom and daddy started getting sick and on up in their years, I was going to fix them. I was going to make them doctors fix them. But you know what I found out? I can't fix anything. I can't do anything, people. I can't do anything. I can't fix a problem. But I know one who can. And when we've got problems, we're supposed to have one another. And we're supposed to love one another and care one another, care for one another in such a way that we're going to pray for. Just like praying for Miss Sandra. And don't tell me God don't answer prayers. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me what God can do. I've seen too many things in my life that has happened in my life that will not allow me to believe that God is not on the throne. So we have this thing that we go through and we get experience by the things that we go through. So what I'm saying there is for us to hang in, not to give up. Because what did I say a while ago? The devil cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. See, just as surely as Satan can paint a beautiful picture, just like he did in the garden with Eve, and he was talking about that tree. See, the whole time, if you read the scriptures, the whole time he's talking to Eve about that tree, she was looking at it. See, he's going to run a beautiful picture in front of you to tempt you, to try to get you to stumble and fall. He's going to do that. But just as surely as he's good at painting a beautiful picture, he can paint you an ugly one too. He can paint you a picture and say, you ain't going to make it through this. This is where you're going to stay. And that's what concerns me, people, is the devil trying to tell you this is where you're going to stay when he gets you in a low, low valley and you don't see no way out of it. Because a lot of times the devil wants to show you what you can do and what you can't do nothing. You don't have any power to do anything. Not anything. The Bible says patience works experience, and experience hope. And we're right back to that word again, Brother Mike. We're right back to that word again. Not a hope so, but a steadfast hope. Because when I've got the experience, Brother Tim, that I can do something like on a job, and I go to it tomorrow, I've got to hope that I'm going to finish that job. Well, let me tell you something. When the good Lord brings you through a deep, dark valley that you have struggled in, and you make it to the other side, you remember what God has done for you, and you say to yourself, buddy, I got hope that the next time I stumble off in this old valley, that same God that brought me through this first time is going to be there for the second time. He's going to be there for the third time, and He's going to be there every time that I stand in need of a touch and a help from Him to get me across this deep valley and through this dark wilderness that I'm going through. Keep your faith and your trust, your patience, in the Lord. In the Lord. Because the Lord is good at healing. Savior Jesus Christ is a healer. He can heal a heart. He can restore the joy. Everything that you need is in God's hand. Everything. Everything that you need is in God's hand. And when we start talking about patience, let me read you some scripture out of Isaiah. Chapter 40. And I love this scripture, and I've gone to this scripture a lot in my Christian life. Chapter 40, beginning with verse 28. And God's Word said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding. You see, the God that I serve don't wear out. I've come in a lot of days and stuff, just be soaking wet and tell my wife I'm wore out. I ain't saying it just because I feel like it. It's like it was when I was in service. I come in one morning and told old guys, and see, I had to fight the Civil War all over again all through my days in the service because I was stationed with a lot of northern people. And I come in one morning and I said, I'm going to have to sit down. I'm tired. So what did you say you wanted to leave? I said, I'm tired. What is tired? I said, I'm sorry. See, up north, y'all get tired. That's a T-I-R-E-D. Down here, we sweat and labor, and we get tired. T-A-R-D. And I said, you see this thing sitting right here that I'm fixing to sit down in? I said, that's just like the washing detergent. That's a cheer, C-H-E-E-R. So it was all on all the time. But my God and my Savior never grow weary. Have you ever had somebody come to you and talk to you about a problem? You weren't expecting that problem. Wham, bam, you fall backwards. You say, I'm going to faint. I can't take it. The Bible says he fainteth not. Stays right there with us. Stays right there with us. He said he... Now listen, I love this right here. Because see, I get faint. See, we're going back to that patience now and stuff. You know, the patience that I'm so lacking on so much of the time. When I don't want to wait or have the patience, I want to faint. I'm like a possum. I'll just roll up in a ball. But the Bible says, and I love it, he said, he giveth power, and this is the reason I have to go with these scriptures, to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I love it. They shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now that word's just as true as this carpet is red. Just as true, people. What God said in His Word, He's going to back up. He's going to back up. So you stay faithful and true to the Lord. Set your eyes and your affections on the Lord, on things above and not the things in this old world that the devil wants you to set your eyes on. Because all these things that you're seeing around here is going to pass away. But the things you set your eyes on up above and stuff, let me tell you something. They're going to stay. They're going to be permanent. And I'm looking for something permanent. Looking for a permanent dwelling, a home that I'm going to. Let's go back to the book of James. We're going to talk on a hard subject now. He said, if any of you lack wisdom. Now let's stop right there. Because if you're going to sit here and say, I don't lack no wisdom, I already know it all. You're not going to hear a word I got to say. But if you won't be truthful and honest, listen to what the Word of God says. It said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to men, all men, liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Listen to what the Bible says now. Listen, God thinks a lot about wisdom. And He wants you to have wisdom, a godly wisdom, not man's. Now, it's good to learn things that we're taught in school. It's good to know how to add, subtract, how to write. Those things are good. But we need a godly wisdom, too. You know, a godly wisdom will cause you to be sort of slow to react to things. If you are truly seeking the wisdom of God, you'll think about things before you say it. And you'll think about it before you do it. Somebody come running up to you and say, I've got a problem, here it is, now what do you think we ought to do? Well, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it, and then what we're going to do? Let's wait on the Lord. We lack in wisdom in this old country today. We are lacking wisdom in this old country. You can look around that and see it in decision after decision after decision. True wisdom is not going to always let you have your way. Now, there are things that are wrong, and things that are wrong need to be kept in their place. And that's kept down. We are losing so many of the old standards. And people, you know, they say, you're talking about the old ways. Well, you read the Bible and see what the Bible says. The Bible talks about the old ways. The old paths. Time and time and time again, you read in the Scripture, God speaking and He talks about the old paths. The paths that He laid down from the very beginning, people. That's what He wants us to walk in. That's what He wants us to live in. That's what He wants us to react by, is the old paths. Not the things that goes on that somebody has just come up crazy and just brought up and said, well, let's do this. And once again, there's no wisdom shown. But the Bible says, if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. The Bible says right there that you can get wisdom, Brother David. And God's not going to hold it back because He said He upbraideth not. If you're truly looking for wisdom and guidance from above, God's not going to keep that from you. He's going to give you what you need to make it through this old world. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are striving to follow the Lord and you're in a position of leadership and you're walking the walk and not just talking the talk, people are going to look at you a lot different. They're going to look at you a lot different. They may not have nothing good to say about you, but they'll say one thing, that's a different kind of guy right there. It's a different kind of guy. He lives a different life. And I'm not all that crazy about him, but I admire him for what he does. I've heard that said too many times for somebody that stood in the old paths. But let's talk about that just for a minute on the wisdom end of it. I want to go to the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 5. Or chapter 3, I'm sorry. I can't read my own right. Begin with verse 6. We pick up in the Bible and Solomon is talking to the Lord. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Now, I want you to listen to Solomon here praying to the Father above. Now, one thing God is going to honor is humbleness. Now here Solomon was. He was the son of David. David was a great man there in the kingdom of God, in the nation of Israel. And now Solomon was sitting on the throne. Solomon was in a high position. He was in a very high position. And listen to what he said to God. He said, I am but a little child. Now I said a while ago, if you're looking for wisdom and you go to popping off and stuff, I've already got all the wisdom I need, then it's not going to do you no good. But Solomon saw himself, people, for what he was. He was just a man. And he realized that's all that he was just a man. And he said, I am but a little child. Listen to what he said. He said, I know not how to go out or come in. He said, I ain't got enough sense to go out the door or come in the door. I can't even do that. Reminds me of that song, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. How true that song is. How simple that is. But we cannot walk through this old world without God holding our hands and caring for us. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thou so great a people? Now there he was, and he was telling God just like it was. And see, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord loves for us to be honest with Him. He loves for us to be honest with Him. He loves for us to just tell Him the truth just like it is. Just the way it is. Lord, I've fallen flat on my face. Here I am again, Lord. Would You forgive me and pick me up and help me to travel on? Lord, I'm lacking wisdom in this situation. This is coming in on me, Lord, and I ain't got a clue what to do. Would You give me help? Solomon said, here I am in the midst of Your people, so great a nation. So great a nation. How in this world am I going to judge them, Lord, without You? How am I going to know how to do it if You don't do it for me? See, God don't need no help. He didn't need Solomon's help in judging the people. Solomon needed God not to help him judge the people, but to judge the people and use him as a vessel. See, that's all we can do in this old world, people. All we can do is be a vessel. All we can do is be a vessel for God to use, for God to work through. And that's all He wants us to do, is to yield ourselves unto Him as members of righteousness. But here he is, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, listen to this now. If you don't believe that God honors someone being humble, listen to what the Scripture says. He said, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, he wasn't selfish, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done, not I'm going to, but it's done, Solomon. It's done. You wanted this, you got it. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Now listen, he wasn't selfish in his prayer, not in the least little bit. And God said, you've done this thing and you've done it the right way. And said, because you've asked me with humbleness, he said, I've given thee what you didn't even ask for. Riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now listen to this. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, not the ways of the world, but he said, if thou wilt walk in my ways. Now if tells me that we got a choice, people, and we're going right back to the same thing I said before, And that is not throwing the towel in, but taking a stand regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how ragged and tore up we may be in this old world. Because all these rags and tore up pieces is going to be left behind, people. But to set our eyes and our affections on the Lord and to do His will, He said, if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. We have got to follow the Lord every day of our lives. It can't be a Sunday thing. It's got to be every day of our lives. And we don't want nothing to do with what is wrong. Though we may struggle with it in this old flesh, because this flesh, as I said before, is a wicked and sinful thing. But we need to set our eyes and our affections and our heart upon the Lord to make it on through this old world till we, like Brother Donald, reach that finish line. And the Lord said, come on home. Or till we reach that day when they sound the trumpet. I've had spells be out in the yard and I think I hear horn blowing. I said, I'm getting ready to fly. Waiting on the Lord. Brother Mike, that's all I've got tonight.